As we worship the Lord again this evening, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the work of his own hands. The Lord greets us this evening. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the Prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We'll join our mouths and hearts this evening by singing to God's praise, Psalter 213, verses 1 through 5. 213, 1 through 5.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening you can find in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll begin at verse 7 and then read through the end of chapter 12. So Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 through the end of chapter 12. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Thus far the reading of God's precious word, may he bless it to our hearts, even in the reading of it. And as we respond to the reading of the word and prepare to confess our faith, let's sing Psalter 425, verse 5. 425, verse 5.
Thank you.
Together with the church of all ages and places, we wish to confess our faith. In the words of the Apostles' Creed, let each of us say in our hearts thus, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before we turn to the Lord in prayer, just one brief announcement. As was announced in the bulletin several weeks running, the church visitation was held this past Thursday evening. As the moderator of your congregation, I can say that the meeting was a positive one. The pastor and the elders and the deacons are working in a unified way. There are no issues to report, and we're thankful that the Lord has blessed the congregation. So be encouraged that the Lord is at work amongst you. I am leaving encouraged. I myself was encouraged to meet with the brothers in our conversation to hear how the Lord is at work, not just in your church family, but also in the wider community as well. So let us form and shape our prayers as well in thanksgiving, but also for God to continue his work amongst us by his Spirit and word. So let us seek his face in prayer this evening. And as we pray, we will pray for also the train wreck that happened in India yesterday or early this morning, where hundreds have lost their lives and close to 1,000 people have been injured. So we'll pray for that situation as well. Glorious and almighty God and heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence once more this evening, thankful that thou dost yet speak to us from thy word. Thou hast not left us over to ourselves, but thou dost speak to us the word of life. Thou dost call us to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. And Lord, it's not only for young people that this call goes out this evening, but it's also for the elderly and the middle-aged. For we all are accountable to thee. For thou hast created us. Thou hast sustained us. Thou hast provided for us. And as thy creatures, we are accountable to thee. And we need thee every moment of every day. We are dependent upon thee for every breath, for every movement. But Lord, thou hast not only created us, but thou hast also revealed thyself to be the Redeemer of thy people, a God who desires to save, a God who not only desires, but a God who delights to save. And it is to thee that we come, because thou hast bidden us come. Thou hast said in thy word, come, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I will make them as wool. Lord, we come then at thy invitation, confessing that we are sinners, that our hearts are dyed deep with sin, that we need cleansing again. And thou hast bidden us come in thy word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We confess, Lord, that within there is turmoil, and without there is unrest. And we come to thee, our rock and our refuge, tonight, confessing our need of thee, confessing that we are glad to come, even though we are often slow to come. We thank thee that there is a place with thee, a place prepared by Christ for thy people, a haven of rest, a haven of refuge. Thou art our refuge and strength in times of trouble. Lord, thou hast encouraged us by thy word this morning, and as we come this evening, as we hear, in a sense, a warning, a reminder that we would also be given ears to hear this, that we would not push it away as something that we don't need, but that we would see our need of it and sit under thy word with hearts that are open to receive correction. Lord, we are slow to remember thee. We often forget thee. We often turn to our own ways, to our own thoughts. And so, Lord, cure us of this and bring us back to thy word tonight. Bring us back to thyself. Lord, we thank thee for all that thou hast given to us this past week. We thank thee for the visit that we could have as moderator with the consistory. We are grateful, Lord, that thou art at work in the life of the congregation, in the hearts and lives of children and young people, that there is an evident hunger for the word. And Lord, we know that we cannot produce this on our own. It is solely due to the work of thy Holy Spirit, to thy blessing upon the preaching of the word and the faithful pastoring and shepherding of Pastor Proce and the elders and deacons. Lord, thou hast done this. And for this reason, we are glad, because thou hast not left us to ourselves, but thou art still at work, not just in the church family either, but in the wider community. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy faithfulness, that thou wilt not let us go. And we pray, as Jacob did, that thou wilt not let us go, but that thou wilt continue to bless us, even as thou hast done in the past. Please encourage Pastor Proce, Lord, as he labors in the flock from week to week. We thank thee for his joyful service in the midst of the flock. Pray for his wife, Marlise, and their children. Lord, continue to bless them in the midst of the church family here. Be with the elders and deacons. Continue to grant them office-bearing grace. Also the office bearers that will be newly installed in the weeks to come. Those who take a time of respite from the office, we pray that thou wilt grant them rest and refreshment. Lord, we do pray for the situation in India, the train wreck that happened there, the many hundreds of people who have perished, many without hope, serving a false god. Lord, how our hearts are moved at this picture of those who have died without hope and trust in the Lord our God. Lord, what is it that makes us to differ? It is only thy grace that we have heard the word of life, and so it humbles us. But Lord, we grieve with those who grieve. And if we do not repent, if we are without Christ this evening, we will likewise perish. So help us to learn that lesson from this providence in the lives of so many. We pray for the many injured. We pray for relief. We pray for healing. We pray for those who grieve, that thou wilt grant also hope and comfort in the midst of these situations, that those who are Christians, those who are named by thy name in this country that is so filled with spiritual darkness, that thou wilt grant thy people to shine as lights and be able to bring comfort and hope and perspective to those who have been plunged into grief, for those who are facing pain and suffering as a result of this. And Lord, that it would serve as a warning for us, coupled with the preaching of the word this evening, to set our houses in order, to set our hearts aright with thee. And so grant thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, to move amongst us this evening, that thou wilt be exalted and lifted up as the only Savior, as the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. We pray in particular for our children and young people, that they would take the message to heart tonight, that they would turn to thee, the living God, before it is too late, before they grow old and grow weary and grow weak and can no longer function the way they do. But Lord, take their zeal and their energy and use it for thy glory, that they would turn to thee and live a full life for the Lord Jesus Christ, delighting to do so. Lord, thou hast laid claim to these children and young people. Thou hast made covenant with them, willing and declaring to be their God and they to be thy people. So we pray that thou wilt work especially tonight through the ministry of thy word in the hearts of the young. And so, Lord, we ask that thou wilt be near to us, that thou wilt graciously forgive our sins, that thou wilt keep us from sin as we worship thee, that our minds would be cleared of distraction, that thou wilt strengthen in preaching, that thou wilt give an ear to hear in listening. And so, Lord, come amongst us and show thyself to be the Savior of thy people. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 322 after you have opportunity to give to the Lord's service of your gifts. Psalter 322, all verses. Our text for this evening is from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 through verse 7 of chapter 12. At this time, I'll just read verse 1 of chapter 12, a familiar verse, a verse that we often hear the time of graduations, the end of the school year. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people, maybe you've heard or even used it yourself, the expression or the acronym YOLO. YOLO. And I think you know what that stands for, but those who are not as well versed in the lingo of the younger generation, YOLO is simply a short form for you only live once. You only live once. It's an expression that I think you know the world attaches to its temptations. You only live once, after all. Try this experience. Come on and partake of this pleasure. You only live once. Maybe you've even texted that to your friends, or that's been texted to you. Come on over to this party. You only live once. Or doing some other form of entertainment that runs contrary to the Word of God. YOLO. But as we read the Scriptures and as we come to our text tonight, we also see that Scripture uses that expression. The biblical worldview encapsulates that expression. Not in the sense that the world uses it, but in the opposite direction, to set eternity before our eyes. You only live once, God tells us. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And so, young people, you only live once indeed. But not just to experience the pleasures of this world, but to experience the pleasure of serving and living for God. You have one life. You have one life, not to pursue worldly pleasure, but to pursue and to live for God. And that's what the Scriptures are setting before us. That's the wisdom that Solomon is teaching us in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. It's this wisdom that we want to consider this evening, specifically for young people, but I think also for all generations. Our theme is, you only live once. In the first place, we see the rejoicing that Solomon calls us to. The rejoicing. And secondly, we'll see the remembrance. So really two action words in our points this evening. Rejoice and remember. Solomon provides lessons from his own life in the pursuit of pleasure. He provides wisdom that he's gleaned from his own life as he's lived life to the fullest. But he teaches us that life under the sun without God is empty, it's meaningless, it's vanity. And so in verses 9 and 10, he takes that expression that we use today and he gives it in his own words. He applies it to young people. He knows the draw of the world and its pleasures. He's lived that way, he knows it. He speaks to the appeal that the years of being a young person have for you. Listen to what he says in verse 9. He says, rejoice, O young man, or we could add in there, young woman, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. How do you understand this word, rejoice, this evening? What Solomon introduces here is an irony. There is pleasure in life. That much is true. Solomon experienced that. Experienced tremendous pleasure. He had everything that money could buy. We read in the historical books of his reign that there was silver in Jerusalem like stones. It was common. He was wealthy. He had everything that wealth could buy. And so is Solomon saying here that we should just live a life of pleasure and that's all there is? No, he's not. He's not condoning a life of reckless pleasure. He's not saying, go ahead and live it up because you're young and you only live once anyway. He's not using the expression that way. It's an irony. It's a warning. He's saying, this is the call of the world. Come on, you only live once. You will never have an opportunity to live your youth again. He knows the call of the world that says, live life without looking back with regrets. Wishing you could have lived your youth the way you wanted to. He's saying here that the world is appealing and relating to the senses. Rejoice, let your heart bring you cheer. Steer your desires where you want them. Let your eyes consume pleasure. So if we take that statement here this evening in our text, and that's all we have, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes. If we're driven by passion, and that's all that we are living for, then indeed, this is what the world tells us. And so Solomon is describing for us the way youth often live, without any thought for eternity, without any thought of God. He's speaking to the reality that you face as young people in the world, the draw and the pursuit of pleasure for pleasure's sake, without God in the picture, without God at the center of your life. And what does that look like for young people today? Perhaps even for older people. How does our culture, how does the world today dress up this appeal to your heart to rejoice and pursue pleasure for pleasure's sake? You only live once, so pursue it all. Alcohol. Drink till you can't function anymore. Drugs. They're not so bad. How can you really have lived without smoking up, without getting a high? Sex. Throw off the shackles of a traditional upbringing. Test it out. Express yourself. Explore what makes you feel comfortable and what makes you feel you. Pursue the pleasures of porn without the consequences, an emotional entanglement of a relationship. After all, how do you know who you are without sexual experimentation? Education. You really ought to open your mind to the philosophies of this world, of this age. Be woke or be canceled. Pressure on every side to rejoice and pursue pleasure for pleasure's sake. Rejoice, O young man or young woman, in your youth. But that's not all that Solomon is saying. He's saying this is often the way that young people live, the temptation to live this way. But there's an important qualifier that Solomon introduces here. It's really a powerful inhibitor, a preventer of sin, not a promoter of sin. He's saying here on the one hand that the time of youth might be the time for the pursuit of rejoicing, and it's often done without thought of the pain of rejoicing. And so he's setting forth before us both of these things. The pursuit of rejoicing in our youth, but also the pain of rejoicing if it's not done in God's way. Scripture is pressing home something important this evening to you, young men and young women. Rejoice in your youth, pursue pleasure, but know that for whatever you do in this life, you will be brought into judgment by God. Rejoice, but know that God will bring you into judgment for every reckless thing that you do contrary to his commandments. Verse 9, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. So Solomon learned that behind every pleasure without God is pain. There is judgment behind the joy that you might expect to glean from sin. You will have to reckon with God if you pursue pleasure without thinking of God or eternity. What Solomon is writing here is not to encourage you to a life of pleasure without God. He's encouraging you to a life of pleasure with God at the center. to pursue pleasure, because God is at the center of pleasure. He's not encouraging you to seek your heart's desires of having your behavior driven by what you see and can experience. What we have here is a powerful warning to prevent you from going the route of sin. It's really a powerful call to repentance to those who are living this way. Judgment will loom for a life of reckless pleasure. It might not be immediately apparent, but it will come. You know, sometimes young people think they are invincible. Solomon thought he was invincible, but he wasn't. I thought I was invincible, but I wasn't. Learn from those who have come before you. Learn from the cleansing and the honest truth of Scripture. Such a life is not worth living. Rejoice in your youth, but know that for whatever you do, God will bring you into judgment. A life of pleasure without God is not worth living. Maybe you ask, well, is this being a killjoy then? So you can't enjoy life at all? No, not at all. We're not being a killjoy by warning you. Rather, the opposite is true. But a loving warning from Scripture, from those who have come before, who have learned the pursuit of pleasure for pleasure's sake is not rewarding ultimately. Rather, enjoyment of life without God is hellish and will ultimately face the scrutiny of God's judgment. Can you say that the way you're living right now is a life with God? A life that is approving to God? A life that pursues the pleasure of knowing God, of living for God? So what we have here in this statement from the pen of Solomon is intended to get you to think beyond the here and the now. Beyond the world's use of this statement, you only live once. And to use this statement to think along the lines of Scripture's use of this phrase. To know that your actions now will reap consequences in the future and in the coming judgment of God. Rejoice in your youth, yes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Think about where you're headed this evening. And receive this warning. And after having heard this message, go out and sin boldly if you dare. But know that God will bring you into judgment. What's the way forward then? Listen to what Solomon says. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What he means here is to remove anxiety or vexation from your heart. It means to have your heart lined up so that you live with God at the center of your life. Solomon says to put away pain from your body. He means to take advantage of the years of your youth when you're strong, not to live for yourself, but to live for the Lord. Spend your best energies for God, Scripture is teaching you this evening. Don't spend your best energies in pursuing the world that, if taken to their logical end, will lead only to pain and judgment. Pursue pleasure. But pursue it with God as the bullseye of that pleasure. He's the greatest pleasure you could ever know. The time of youth without God is empty. That's the point of the preacher in these words. The world says this: you only live once, so live for the experience of pleasure. God's word says to you tonight, you only live once, so live for God as the focus of your pleasure. And everything else will fall into place according to God's plan, according to the way God intended us to live and to use all that he's given us. Guard your heart and your soul for God, young people. Take the best years of your life and commit them to Christ and his service. That's what Scripture is getting at this evening. And so rejoice. Rejoice in your youth, but know that God will bring you into judgment if you're pursuing pleasure recklessly without God. But then too, Solomon calls you not only to rejoice, but also to remember. In chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And what does it mean to remember? To remember means a conscious, willful determination to think about something. A conscious, willful determination to think about something. It's not just drawing memories from the past forward. It's intentionally setting something before your mind and in your mind to think about. You are to remember your Creator, the God who made you, the God who gave you life, the God who created the world around you, the God who created the pleasures and the gifts and blessings of this world. Somehow, young people are often tempted to think that when you're a young person, God is the ultimate thief and killjoy who wants to spoil your life. Listen to the wisdom of Solomon. Listen to the wisdom of your parents. Remember your Creator. When the pressure mounts on your mind and heart to think about the things that will numb you to the spiritual need of your own soul, remember your Creator. Consciously, willfully, with determination, you're called to bend your mind to think about God. Why should we do this as young people, as middle-aged, as old, elderly people? Well, Paul lays it out quite clearly in Romans 1, verses 18 through 25. Those who suppress the truth of God and willfully think about other things will be forced to reckon with God's judgment. Those who worship the creature and live for the creature more than the Creator will face the sad reward for what they think about. And so Solomon says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. It matters what you think about, doesn't it? It matters what you fill your mind with tonight and throughout the week. Maybe you've heard the expression before, garbage in, garbage out. The opposite principle works as well. Good things in, good things out. Truth in, truth out. Dr. Barrett is often fond of saying right living or right thinking produces right living. So if we think properly about God, if we set God at the forefront of our minds, we will live rightly for God. So what are you thinking about this evening? When you set your mind consciously and deliberately to think about something, what is it that fills your mind? Is it God and His Word? Is it what God desires for you that fills your mind? Or is it what you want? When you came to church this evening, did you consciously and willfully think about coming to worship your Creator? Or did you let your mind slip in its default setting, letting it coast with your own thoughts that take you away from God? Notice what our text says, remember now. There's an urgency about this command, isn't there? It's not tomorrow, it's not an hour from now. What does now mean? It means right this minute. Children, you know what that's like, don't you? Your parents will tell you to do something. Take out the trash, make up your bed, Do your parents give you the option of when you can do that? They often accompany the command with, go do that now. Because they know that if they don't say that, you'll be tempted to do it later. And how often don't you respond, yeah, I'll do that later. And your parents say, no, do it now. So God, as your creator, comes through his word this evening and he says, remember your creator now. The same tendency that you have when you say to your parents, can I do this after? After is not an option with God. He says now, not tomorrow, not an hour, but right this minute. Scripture comes with authority, with urgency to command you to remember now. Don't put off this remembrance of God. Solomon is saying here, you only live once. It matters how you live. Don't live for the world, but live for God now. The call to remember is really a call to repentance, a call to turn your mind away from the pleasures of this world and living for them towards God who created you and has his claims upon you. Don't delay this remembrance. Don't put it off. Don't say, I'll come back to it later. The time of youth is the best time of life. You have strength. You have energy. You have a clear mind. You have the zeal to live for God. Ask those who are converted later in life, and they'll tell you exactly what Solomon is telling you here tonight from the Word of God. Remember now. Don't wait until you're 30 or 40 or 50 or even older. Take all that you are and with determination remember God now. Set the patterns of your mind now. Pursue the habits of grace now, lest patterns of sin overtake your mind and your heart becomes crusted over with the pursuit of pleasure. It becomes that much more difficult to turn to the Lord when you've set patterns for your life that do not glorify God. But notice what Solomon says. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people tend to think that they have their entire lives ahead of them. You only live once, so pursue pleasure. But God says, you only live once, so pursue me now. Because days are coming that are not going to be good. Evil days, bad days. And Solomon paints a picture here of old age, the end of life, in which there is difficulty, not insurmountable difficulty with God. But that makes it much more difficult for us to turn to God. There are days and seasons coming that will seriously affect your remembrance of God. If you put off remembering God now and you think you'll turn to God later, you might not have the opportunity ever again. Why is that? Because old age is a period of decline. Physical decline, cognitive decline, and finally, death. That's the outlook that Solomon gives in the verses that follow. You only live once, so use the life that God has given you for his glory, for the pursuit of him as your ultimate pleasure. Solomon starts to build the contrast in order to emphasize the urgency of knowing God when you're young. Remember now thy creator in the days of your youth. This is the time for you to know God and to pursue him and to live for him. Not tomorrow, not 5 years from now, not when you're done university, not when you're married, not when you have a family, not when you've climbed the ladder of your career. God is saying you only live once. And the life you live as a young person matters to God. It matters what you do with your life. It matters how you handle the gospel. It matters how you handle the knowledge and the truth of God that you have. It matters what you do with the heritage that you have received from your parents, from your church, and through your education. God is saying to you this evening, you only live once. Now is the opportunity you have to turn to God. Life is short. Eternity is long. Remember now. There will come a time where youthful energy fades. Zeal will languish and grow cold. Strength will give way to weakness. Mental sharpness gives way to memory loss. And if you experience memory loss, how can you remember? That's the vivid picture that Solomon paints for young people, for all of us. It's that we get to understand the urgency with which we need to know Christ now. Notice what he says in verse 1, while the evil days come not. Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. The time will come where life under the sun will lose its pleasure in old age. Conclude your spiritual state before God now, before the conclusion of life sets in, and you'll be set at an extreme disadvantage. You only live once. Solomon says, remember now your Creator before the lights of nature are obscured by clouded vision. That's the picture he paints in verse 2. Remember your Creator while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. It's a metaphor for the failing vision of old age. How do we remember God? How do we consciously and deliberately think about God? We use our eyesight to read the Word of God, to read good books, to see where you are going, to see what you are doing. Use your eyes, young people and children, to remember God now, to put God at the forefront of your life before your eyesight fails and you can't see anything at all. You only live once. Remember now your Creator before your strength fails. In verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The Word of God calls you young people to consider the decline of old age. When the keepers of the house shall tremble, the trembling hands of old age, the bowed over old man who's bowed over and cannot straighten himself anymore. Someone with gaps in their teeth because they can't chew anymore. The failure of the eyes to see clearly out of the window. With that picture, he reminds you to remember God now. To use your strong limbs, your upright posture, your teeth, your eyes, to remember your Creator and His gifts. To let the gifts bring you back to the giver and acknowledge him as the giver of every good and perfect gift, as the wisdom of James counsels us to do. You only live once. Remember now your Creator before your hearing fails. In verse 4, the doors be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Here is the paradox of old age. The hearing is dim, and even the slightest disturbance awakes the elderly person. My neighbor back home is well in his 80s. He's often awake at 4 in the morning, unable to sleep anymore. A common refrain for those in old age. And yet, they can't hear. The hearing begins to fade. Remember your Creator now. Use your ears to listen to the voice of God through His Word. Glorify Him before the worries and cares of old age set in. You only live once. Remember now your Creator before the insecurity of old age. In the States, we have what's called Social Security for old people to provide some measure of financial security for them. The time of old age is a time of insecurity. Solomon paints that picture. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. In old age, life declines. There's the fear of heights. Maybe you've told an elderly parent not to go up a ladder again. The fear of setting foot outside the home, of driving at night, is also a common refrain for elderly people. The graying and the whitening of the hair implied by the almond blossom. The failing of desire for life. Speaking recently to someone who is retiring from teaching, well in his 60s, I no longer have the drive that I used to have, a diminishing of energy. The destination of eternity looms large. Man is going to his long home. Man is destined for eternity. Remember now your Creator. You only live once. Then in verses 6 and 7, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before death comes. Death can come for young people, but most commonly death is associated with the elderly, the end of life. Wherever the silver cord be loosed or the golden bowl be broken or the pitcher be broken at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now you might read these words and say, Solomon is just being cynical here. Why is he just talking about death and decline? My friend, it's to get you out of yourself, to consider that this is all coming, that you only live once. It will surely come and it will not tarry. Are you ready for that period of life when death, humanly speaking, is closer than it is now? Are you ready for death even now when you're a young person? You only live once. How you live that life will determine where you will be in eternity. This last statement brings God into the picture again and sets God at the very center of it all. The Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This implies a stewardship of the life that God has given you. Will you be a wise steward? Or will you be a foolish steward of that life that you have, that you can only live once? Maybe some of you golf and you know what a mulligan is. Let me tell you this evening that there are no mulligans with God. There are no do-overs. You have one life, and it matters how you live it. The point of this passage is this: to get you to reckon with eternity, to put God at the center of your lives through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We met him this afternoon or this evening as the judge. We met him as the Creator. All this to say that you need him as a Savior, that he's willing to save. He delights to save young people. Did you know that this is normally how God works in the younger generations? To raise up a seed to serve him. You only have one life, young person. God wants you to fear him with a holy and joy-filled fear of Christ. You only live once. How will you take this statement this evening and apply it to your own life? Will you go from this place and apply it in the worldly sense and live it up for pleasure? Or will you understand this statement from the biblical worldview as it's pressed home from the Word of God to remember your Creator now? Remember what God says to you. Rejoice. But know that God will bring you into judgment for whatever you do. Remember now your Creator. Remember that God says to you, You only live once. One life. It matters how you live it. May you live it for the glory of God, clinging to Jesus Christ, remembering consciously, deliberately, thinking about God in all that you do, in all that you say, so that on the day of judgment, you can stand before God with confidence, not in yourself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, for its warning, but also for its encouragement to find life now in thee, our Creator. Lord, we need that double life from thee. We have received the breath of life. We need the life that comes from the Spirit, who works willingly and graciously in the hearts of sinners. And so, Lord, work in our hearts, in the young, the middle-aged, and the elderly alike, that we would see that eternity is coming, that our hearts and lives would be in order. We would consciously and deliberately think about thee, for thou art worthy to be lived for. Lord, we only have one life. Thou hast reminded us of that. And so help us to live it to the full, not for ourselves, but for thee alone. So go with us in the week that lies ahead. Help each young person here to live for thee, whether it's at school or at work or within the family, that in every context they would live a life of integrity, of holiness, in relationship with Jesus Christ, looking to him alone as the life that we need. So go before us, Lord. Help us now, we pray, to put these words into action. Grant us thy Spirit to apply these words to our lives and to live them out for thy glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 268, and then our doxology is 199, verse 4 and 5, the second tune. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.